My people, what up though? We back with another episode of All Black Men Need Therapy. My name is Chief.
And I'm Bell.
Prentice couldn't be here today. Brother's on the other side of the country.
Yeah, so today is different. We've done interviews before, but I feel like this one's different. This episode is going to be heavy, right? We're going to talk about some things that may be triggering, which is the point of the platform, right? To talk about things that challenges that we deal with in a community.
Shit that isn't getting talked about.
Shit that's not getting talked about, post and pre, right? So, and I'll get into that in a second. But we got Stevie Javon Clark here. You go by Stevie, Javon, Smooth.
God, like, what you go by? Everybody in my family call him Lil Steve.
Yeah.
Everybody in my family do. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like,
all my cousins, everybody call me Javon. But, like, I don't know. People from school call me Steve. It's a crazy thing.
So it don't matter? You good?
It don't matter. All
right. So we got.
Thank you for being here, bro.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you, man.
Word.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And we're going to get into his story in a little bit. But actually, let's get into the check-in and then I'll...
Let me double back on it?
Yeah, on
it. You've seen the episode. You know how we get down. So before we get into anything, we just, just a check-in. Make sure you're doing right and see how you're doing. So go ahead, B. You first. Check in. Shout out to Mookie in the background
Mookie eating Skittles or some shit back there.
Mike and Ike's.
You and him might be the only two people on the planet that still eat Mike and Ike's, man.
Nah, I do.
So you the eyeball.
That's crazy.
I eat the hot tamale ones, crazy.
Yeah, people who eat Mike and Ike's are sociopaths, but that's neither here nor there. So my check-in today was good, man. Today was a good day. Today I had my first... I did a client workshop today, which was dope.
You told me.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I co-facilitated, so my boss was running the show for the most part. But, it was a branding. It would be good for you. It would be good for anybody. I could send you the material. It's about branding. And basically, if you don't brand yourself, somebody else will brand you. You know what I'm saying? And so we did that, told some stories, and it was good, man. But we got San Diego coming up next week, which is dope. Looking forward to getting out to Mira Mesa High School. Shout out to Mira Mesa High School.
Shout out to Mira Mesa High School, San Diego.
But yeah, that's really it, man. Everything is good, man. You know, no complaints, man. No complaints.
I'm gonna take the next one. I know we will pass it over here, but I'm gonna take it now and we'll get you on the back end of it all. I'm good. Y'all got a lot of shit going on, bro. Like my next week, I got a week off next week, but I'm on a plane Sunday, on a plane Monday, on a plane Tuesday, on a plane Wednesday. Like, literally. Every day I'm flying all over the place.
Oh, yeah, so, you are, because you're going to be in South Carolina.
Yeah. So,
what's going on? Thing. What are you doing in South Carolina?
Officiating a wedding.
Oh, that's right,
wedding
that's right, that's
Carolina,
right, that's right.
And then I fly back, pick up my baby, taking my baby to UCLA.
MJC. Yo, I'm telling you, that's a dope camp. You never been there, right?
Nah.
That's
so a dope camp. My daughter plays softball, and she, like, started watching softball and she like fell in love with UCLA. She's like, Dad, I'm going to UCLA. I'm like, bet. So that's what you want to do. You got to work, whatever. So, but we got this week off. She off. I'm like, you know what? Let me just take her. So she don't know we going. Just gonna pick her up. Pick her up. We out. Throw the mom pack her bag. We gonna go to Cali and just walk the campus for a little bigger little tour. You know what I'm saying? Go to the game. Try to mingle her with the team and whatnot. And then she gonna come to the gig with us in San Diego the next day. We gonna fly back. Update on the conversation with my brother. So. I talked to my brother and my sister for like maybe like a half hour the other day.
Together.
She's in West Palm, my brother, and it was an interesting conversation. My brother basically said he had the same conversation like 3 years ago.
Oh, so he wasn't in your brother's life in your sister's?
I don't really know the dynamic of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, so we gotta talk. So what I told my sister was I'll pick her up in Atlanta, we'll just drive. To West Palm.
To West, yo.
And have that, but that's a great car ride conversation. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, we talk on the plane, bro. Fuck that.
Yeah, so I figured it'd be a great way to, you know what I mean, get clear the air and, you know, just
whatever.
Because
that got
to
be 10 hours.
Just an 8.
That's a good drive.
Oh, yeah, it's a good drive.
Well, you talking, smoking the bandit over here. Like,
it's a lifetime of shit I got to get out in 8 hours that we got to talk about. So, you know what I'm saying?
It'd
be a good fulfilling conversation. But it was cool, and in that brief conversation, it was really like they had his back, you know what I'm saying? And but they could see from where I'm coming from, and my brother, you know, he was just like, "Yo, man, you gotta like."
They were receptive,
of course, of course.
Well,
but it was
your sister wasn't at one point.
She has always been receptive.
Okay.
But I think
she just wanted to get her narrative off too.
I think all she continues to hear is my narrative, and it's like, I don't know the truth. I don't know the whole of it, so she wants to help change that. And it's frustrating because I haven't basically allowed anybody to. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh, so she's saying you spewing all this, but you're not even willing to listen.
Right. Kind of more so.
Yeah.
That's where I'm taking it. So, but again, we'll have that conversation, and it'll help, you know, bring
so
things
to the
forefront.
So is it scheduled or?
No, not scheduled yet, but we're going. Okay. But what's crazy is, I'll show you guys real quick. I mean, I'll put the picture. I promise you, I'll put it in the episode. But my brother has a 16-year-old son, and I think my Zion is like 9 or 10. But he showed me a picture of his son. I'm like, I literally saw myself. I showed you the picture?
Yeah, you sent it to
look
the group.
This, shit. This is my nephew, and that's me. That's not wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, we look very, very similar around the same age. I'm like, yo, that's wild.
But, crazy now.
Right. I had hair. You dig? But nah, but other than that, man, everything is good. My boys are cool. We just kicked it real quick before I came here. Everything is good, man. Everything is real good. So what's good with you, yo? Check in. How you feeling? How you living? What's going on?
I'm good. Taking it easy. What I do today? Got up a little early. Picked up the fellas.
No doubt.
Got ready for the day. Just...
It's been on your spirit? Work.
Yeah, I've been
it's
ready.
Been like
man.
Waiting
I've been
on
ready.
You know? Like, nah, for real.
Nah, I'm not. I've been ready. You see, I didn't make the hoodie and everything before. I had to wear it before. I was like, I went out there. I'd be anxious. That's like when I'd be giving the kids my gifts. Mm-hmm. I don't even wait for their birthdays or Christmas. I'd get like and take it early.
Yeah.
So I had the hoodie, I just wore early.
Even what you say, like, I'd be anxious. Like, did that, you had a little anxiety today about coming here? Or was you just like, nah, I'm going to show them a kick with the fellas and we gonna rock out or what?
Oh,
like,
yeah, now nah, I'm ready.
What's the feeling like? Did you wake up is it nerves right now?
Nah,
like,
I text. I was making sure like you know, he said it before. Bell be out. We gotta take care. So I'm like, yo, we ready for today? He was like, all right, yeah, we good to go. All right, let's go. Make sure everything's ready.
Good then. Yeah, so this like yeah, this
right. It must be because you are an avid supporter, so it must be different for you being on the other side now, right?
Yeah, like, listening to us now. Watch, I be driving work in the morning. I be listening. I'm like, dudes be bugging. Like, yeah.
it's mostly his bullshit we be having to deal with.
Yo, what I mean, the shots be crazy.
I was funny because I was telling him the other day, I'm like, yo, it's so crazy how like we'll have a topic design and we'll be talking about what we'll be talking about. We'll go completely off script real quick and then jump right back into this shit like nothing ever happened. You know what I'm saying? But that's a good thing, though. You know what I mean?
So I'm going to jump into it. So a lot of our listeners may be wondering, we don't really do a lot of interviews at all, but this interview you'll find is... deeply rooted in mental health, deeply rooted in a lot of systemic things. And we're going to get into it. So, as I said, we got Javon here today. And so it's crazy, Javon. So when we was preparing for this interview, right, we obviously know the story. The world's about to hear the story in a minute. But we don't know the story, right? Like, I was telling Chief just this morning as we preparing, and I'm like, yo, I remember... Like hearing, I remember it vividly. Like I remember what happened, at least what was told to me that happened. And then I'm like, Chief, do you remember? He was like, vaguely. So I called my sister, because my sister's 7 years older than me. Because when he said he couldn't really remember,
I don't remember shit.
Anyway. Yeah, but I was just like, why do I remember this so well? You know what I'm saying? Like I'm trying to think to myself, I'm like, why do I remember this so well? So I called my sister thinking that maybe... Because she was living in a house, she was still living with us at that time. So I was thinking maybe there may have been some affiliation or something that, which is why it was so prominent in my mind, you know what I'm saying? But she was like, nah, she's like, she remembered it probably like you remembered it. But she was like, nah, I don't know anybody who was involved. So I'm like, all right, so maybe I just, it was during the time, but that was a crazy time for the city in general, like them years, man. It was a crazy time.
It felt wild.
Like, stuff was happening like every week, every month. And so we got Javon here and his name is like, he's like a New Britain. So we from New Britain, Connecticut, just so you guys don't know, for those who've been listening for a while, we've mentioned it a number of times, but just for overall perspective, New Britain is a very small city. It's a city, but it's a small city. And I like when I tell people about my upbringing, I always give the disclaimer. I talk about how the 90s was rough and stuff like that. But I always say, like, that's not the south side of Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the south side of Chicago. We got our own challenges. There was shit that we had to deal with and get through and come out of. But I say all that to say, during this time, when everything happened, it was like the talk. You know what I'm saying? It was like everybody was talking about it. And but I wasn't close enough to the situation to know exactly what happened. Like, I know what I read at the time, and I know what was people were saying. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read an article from back then to give the people some context, and then we're going to start from the beginning, all right? What did you want to read it?
I can read it, don't matter.
Yeah, since you don't like the way I read, cool, apparently.
That? Go ahead.
All right, let's make it sure.
That's a newspaper article?
This was the newspaper article from back then. Have you ever read it?
I'm pretty sure. I read a few of them.
Yeah? Okay.
I think I read like two of them. I think there wasn't too many.
All right, so headline, big bold letters on the front of the newspaper. Man gets 30 years for 1996 killing. Published on July 25th, 1998. Article reads, the sentencing of New Britain man in Hartford Superior Court Friday to 30 years in prison could have been just another case of one drug dealer being sent to prison for killing another. But instead, for an hour, members of both families pleaded before the court, some for justice, others for compassion, for the son who was killed and the other who would be lost to prison. Stevie Clark, 20, faced 5 to 40 years in prison for his conviction early this year of first-degree manslaughter with a firearm in the 1996 shooting of John Bazemore, 32, at the Mount Pleasant Housing Projects in New Britain. I used to live there. Bazemore's cousin, Ernest Garlington, said he counsels boys who, like himself, grew up in poverty, immersed in drugs, guns, and deadly vengeance. Giving Clark a lenient sentence would only send back to the community a message that Garlington has tried so hard to counteract. Clark, a young, slim man often picked on, turned to drugs as a career choice, prosecutor said. The evening of August 2nd, 1996, he accused Bazemore of holding back sales money owed him. Bazemore bullied and taunted him. Clark was originally charged with murder. He told the jury that Bazemore's threats had frightened him. In self-defense, he ran to retrieve a gun and fired at Bazemore. The jury concluded the killing was neither murder nor self-defense. Judge John F. Mulcahy Jr. said, He was not unmoved by Clark's youth or the effect of growing up fatherless and poor. But, he said, Clark could have walked away from the dispute instead of coming back and shooting Bazemore 3 times at a distance of 4 feet. Drugs and guns are a deadly combination, he said. You had a young man with a loaded gun engaged in drug activities in a senseless, stupid argument. The inevitable conclusion was premature death. When it was Clark's turn to speak, his words were mixed in sobs. I tried to get your address and write you a letter, he said. I'm very sorry. I accept that I should be punished. I know I did wrong. I was scared. That's the template from the article back then. I know oftentimes the media will embellish a story, drag some shit out, say stuff that ain't true. So, I mean, feel free to elaborate on what we read or give us your version.
Well, no, before we even go there, let's back up. Right, like I want to back up. Yeah, let's back up because we all know, like everybody in this room knows what happened. The people who are from this community who are listening, they know they heard the story, but that's the headline, right? But like, what's the story behind it? So what I want to do, and just for some context for our listeners, so Javon's first cousin is my best friend, our best friend, growing up. So I've always been familiar.
Shout out to Oz.
Yeah, shout out to Oz. And Javon and I have had a relationship pretty much ever since he came home for the most part. But I want to back up, you know what I'm saying? Like, so let's start from the beginning. So were you born here in New Britain?
Yeah, I was born in New Britain. My family from Pinnacle.
Right.
Pinnacle,
right.
Another housing projects around the way.
Yeah. Yep.
Family so, Pinnacle baby.
So how was it growing up? Cuz your dad was murdered. You know what I'm saying? So how was that growing up? Because how old were you?
2. I was about to turn 2 when my pops passed.
Wow.
So 1980.
Yeah. So yeah.
I'll be 46 in a couple months, excuse me. So
so what was it like? Because you was in Pinnacle. Or you was...
When my pops passed?
No, when you were growing up.
Oh. Growing up, the most of, as far as remembering, I lived in Willow. I was younger. I lived in Willow first. I was going to Smalley school. My elementary was Smalley. I lived in Willow for a minute. I was like 10, 11 when I left there. We moved to Hartford. My mom was my sister.
Okay.
So we moved around. We moved around a little bit. I moved around a little bit. Like within 5 years, we probably like four different spots.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, my mom's and me and my sister, so we're doing what we got to do.
And you moved back to New Britain?
Moved back to New Britain in 92. I was living we moved to the Ville in Hartford.
Okay.
So I started getting a little taste of running around, and I said, I'm not going to school. I ain't doing this. So
it sounded like
trouble. Started getting trouble. Like, mom was like, no, we got to go back to New Britain.
So man. Just for those that aren't aware, Stowe Village was one way in, one way out back in the day. My cousins lived out there. Get into that later. But anyway.
But I'm listening to you tell your story, and it you literally moved from hood to hood to hood. The hood just got worse. Every step you went.
Yeah, we moved around, like I said, New Britain for a minute. Then Hartford, we was at a couple shelters for a minute. Then we went to the Ville, got in trouble. Mom sent me to New Britain with my grandmother on the east side. So then she moved to New Britain, then I moved to Pinnacle Projects. To Mount Pleasant.
Projects.
Pleasant DLC.
So, so with all that, right? So you've named some infamous, in Connecticut at least, some infamous housing projects. So what was that like? What was the first time you remembering, like, you witnessing violence?
I'm trying to think what projects were like. Not for nothing, it wasn't even a lot, yo. It wasn't even a lot, wrong. It was just like, I don't know, I think regular fights when you're in the projects and... But wasn't around for a lot of shooting and stuff like that and acting up in the days. Like, I don't know.
You know what's crazy though? I'm saying, like, we all grew up under the same circumstances. But he's like, oh, no, just regular fights, nigga. That's violence. Like,
it is, but
just because where we from, it's like we're accustomed to the shit, so we see it all the time. And it's not like, yo, like, watching cats fight is not okay.
Nah, I get it.
Five.
Nah, I know that.
You know
what
I'm saying? Seven. Like,
yeah, nah.
But that's just so you don't think that had any. You, if looking back at it right now, can you be like, damn, like, I did watch a bunch of fights growing up and like that?
Yeah, no, I did, because I just figure you around people, like, now that I look at it old, you just, these people around enough, each other long enough, they get tired of this shit when they fight. Like, I don't know, you just cool, you just argue for sports all day, like, you know, this might be two dude friends that just drink too much candy, they fighting, like, they don't remember nothing for the next day.
That shit's complete. That's true. But the way it just seems completely
normalized. Yeah, nah, if you normalize, it's something just different, like, you know.
So when you was moving around and all, you said you got in some trouble, right?
Yeah.
Like, how did you, before you got to Connecticut, to New Britain, how did you find yourself in trouble? Did you, like, aspire to do anything in school? Was, like, sports, anything? Like, how did you find yourself in trouble?
I started getting in trouble in Hartford. Probably when I moved to Hartford, and then I moved back to New Britain. New Britain got worse. But when I was in Hartford, when I lived in the Ville, I was there for a few years, and then, you know, a couple fights in school, and I went to Freddie Wish. But I don't know, I think it started with stealing shit out of Kmart in Windsor.
Mm.
Stealing BB guns and slingshots that come with your arms. And next thing you know, I'm running around shooting windows out of shit and just bored and just not doing nothing. Shooting birds out of the tree, just
a lot of idle time.
Huh? Yeah, a lot of idle time. They said, you know, devil's a playground. Idle time. So.
Mm-hmm.
Get you young when you ain't got nothing to do. Like, all right, just tear something up.
Nah, yeah.
But I'm just about to say, that's so crazy as to, like, how we grow up, and it's like, when we don't got nothing to do, we go out to look for some shit to get into rather
get in
than go
trouble,
and just
yeah.
play
yeah.
with our friends. We, like, just the culture of where we from says we should be doing some, or we, I don't know if it says
just
that.
Thrill,
like,
that mysterious shit.
Yeah, I mean,
shit,
even
like,
if it's as simple as, like, Knicker Knocker used to call it, like, knock, knock, zoom, they call that name, like, little shit like that, like, just that you could potentially get in trouble for, you know what I'm saying? We just found a way to get into some shit that wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling this lady that I work for, her brother, we just sit and stop at stop signs in the wintertime and get on the back of a bus and just let it drag you four or five down blocks down the street in the snow, just dragging.
Yeah. Why did we find fun in some of the most dangerous shit ever, you could do, right? So did you have, I know obviously your father was murdered at a young age, but were you, did you have any male role models growing up?
Crazy thing, but I knew this was going to come up, that one. My uncle, I looked at it, I was thinking about this question earlier. I was like, damn, I said, who I actually had somebody that was kind of solid around me for a minute? I think my uncle Angie.
Okay.
Uncle Angel. I think that's like the most stable person. I used to take me fishing. He,
that's what's up.
Teach me as far as
this is your mom's brother?
Yeah.
Okay. My mom's brother.
He used to work at a computer company. He used to take me there on the weekends when I go to his house. So he didn't mess with the computer. So I was like, a lot of stuff I picked up from him. Right? Nah, it's Angel and Daniel's father.
Berto's, Beatles, BJ's bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My uncle, he's like, he's got some position at a church and does a church thing. So
how was that? So he lived in New Britain?
Okay. Yeah, nah, they've been in New Britain their whole life. Like, he went from Jerome, from you know, same street, yeah. basically on Jerome, yep. right down to Slater. So
okay. So how was that? Like, did you was he trying to step in for the void that was missing? Or was they just trying to just keep you out of trouble?
No, I don't think it was to keep me out of trouble because when I used to be around him all the time, I was just for the weekend. My aunt and my uncle come over. They'd be like, you want to come over and you know, just take care of me, stuff like that, give my mom a break, I guess. So like mm-hmm. second parents and stuff. So now it was just he the one got me into everything. All his sports teams, I just went against everything he liked, and then that's how I got my team. He a Knicks fan, I'm a Celtics. He a Jets, I like the Giants. So like you know, I got something to compete against. So whenever they do compete, if shit, I'm looking for like I might be able to get something out of it. I'm willing to bet something. Mm. I'm thinking about getting something out of it.
That's
so now it's good. Funny because my uncle got me, you know, the competitiveness of. Oh, he got a team. I got a team. I look forward to coming the weekend with him. So. Nah, he did a lot.
That's what's up. Now, with sports, you play any sports growing up, anything like that?
Briefly. I don't know. I think just a lot of people. I think I was probably on the go so much, so I didn't really prepare to sit there and like do too much shit with people when go to rec centers. And I played football for like a year in Hartford. High school ball, EC for a year.
Mm-hmm. Just,
like I said, I felt like I was going to be going somewhere so soon, so moving around, like I didn't really take no too much interest and dedication and staying.
So you got accustomed to just like not really being settled anywhere.
Yeah,
not
just
being
stable. Like, ready, yeah. No, I know we good though, and we know it's just how long we going to sit the way we going to sit.
Right,
so
right. Now, how long, what was the longest place you had lived?
Damn. I don't know. It's been probably spread out. Like my Pleasant probably was like 2 years. Pinnacle might be the most probably. Cause I know I went to Slade for a couple years mm-hmm. there. Then I went to EC New Bern High. So I think Pinnacle was right there the most probably for like three, 4 years.
Wow.
But that's it. You know, the next, I went to jail right when I turned 18. So.
Right, right. So in the article, it talks about. Basically, just two drug dealers having an issue, right?
Yeah.
So, when did you get introduced to hustling or hustling in any capacity, not necessarily drugs? It's like, when did you get introduced to that? You remember how old you were?
Hustling, as far as trying to make some money with, was I got it when I started doing it. And I was staying with my grandmother on the east side. I used to just. Just wait at the bus stop, just coming to farms across the street, going to just steal all the gum, everything, the big packs of juice, mm-hmm. steal all this shit, like boxes, and go right to school.
That was the move. Kata and them used to do that too. They used to steal the strip of gums and sell them for a dollar in Pulaski. They had the school
that
sold
and,
up.
That and... you know, the newspapers used to get like 12 CDs. They had to think like 12 CDs for like $5 and shit like that. You fill it out.
Oh,
And like, you know, I don't know how, whatever it is. I fill my grandmother's name, my aunt's name.
Yeah.
So I used to send them shit in the mail. I get 10 CDs and this, my grandmother's name, my aunt's name. I was getting a bunch of CDs and I was like, shit, it's working. And eventually it started, I just started going to sell CDs.
So you've been hustling for a while.
Yeah. Figure out something.
Trying to get by. So then what? So you went from the stealing in the candy store like we all did, going to, I love that CD hustle though, because that's like outside the box, you know what I mean?
Like, they're not going to charge me. You got to read something. They get like a bill for like $5. I see it to see the bill come in. I'm like, all right, I used to rip the mail up. $7, they ain't going to worry about that.
Right, they ain't going to come looking for me for that.
Yeah.
So then when did you graduate? Like, when did you realize either this isn't fast enough, this isn't enough, or...
I don't know, it never was nothing. It was just, I don't know, being with my mother and my sister, I was like, you know, it's selling, hustling, hustling.
Tawana's older than you.
Yeah, 2 years older
Okay.
It was never a point to where it's like,
I felt like I was fucked up. I needed anything. So I was like, I know I was good. I was, shit, my mom fed us. We had clothes, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't really, like, street life. Nothing grasped me to where I was like, I want this. I need some money. I'll take it for whatever comes. I'm used to outside playing with nothing, so.
Did you feel pressure to, like, quote, unquote, be, like, the man of the house? Did you have that pressure on you, or was mom just holding it down and you was just chilling, being a kid?
That wasn't no pressure. I just felt like the time we had to, you know, me and my sister take care of us. You know, we had to take care of ourselves and do what we got to do. Mom, I guess she had it. You know, and now that I look back at it, I'm like, you know, my mother's young. She lost my father. She's struggling herself. But at the end of the day, I'm like, we good. So I'm like, I look back at it. My shit, I wasn't fucked up as far as I wasn't going hungry, wasn't getting beat on. I seen, like, you know, from other people's parents and, you know, their upbringing. No, I'm okay.
And that's crazy, because anyone listening who doesn't come from where we come from will be like, damn, he had it rough when he was growing up. His dad died.
His levels, though.
His
yeah.
mom was, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, this shit is so normalized for us. It's like, yeah, you know, it's just what we do around the way.
Yeah, I guess you just, I don't know. Sometimes I guess, I don't know, if it's in your DNA, you just figure like, all right, this is the day going to come. I got to take care of today. And you know, we work through it. Work through what we got to do.
How old was your dad when he passed?
I think he was 19, about maybe 18 or 19. He was born 61, died at 80, 19.
Yeah, so you had teen parents as well.
Yeah.
And you the second, so that means, yeah, yeah, okay. So your mom was a young teen
mom.
I
think my mom had my sister probably like when she was like 17, I think. Mm-hmm. Probably had me like
19, so. All right, so you hustling, you getting a couple dollars. Bring us to that night. So walk us through, like, whatever you feel comfortable. And again, like, just a disclaimer for everybody, like, we're not condoning violence. No, however, there's a component of trauma that we are born into and make decisions based on that. And now we are forced to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? And how we all deal with it is how we deal with it. But it's good to deal with it in whatever manner you feel fit. So bring us to that night, right? So you what, 17, 18?
18.
18?
I just turned 18.
So you no longer going to high school? Still going to high school?
I just stopped probably like, you know, maybe like a year or two ago.
So you dropped
two
out?
Years ago, yeah.
And you just in the street for the most part?
Yeah. I applied for Job Corps. Then they shot me down. Once they shot me down, I was like, fuck it. I ain't care.
Until just now, I didn't know people got shot down for Job Corps. I thought everybody who applied to Job Corps got in.
Now they shot me down.
I didn't know that. Okay.
So it was like, you know, but I, you know, right before that, I applied for night school. Like, I'm about to start. I got to start doing something. Because I lived with my aunt for a minute. Then that didn't work. Like, her structure was, I look back, it was like, you know, it was how it was supposed to have been. But I was like, man, I'm still old. I'm still, like, you know, I'm going to run around a little bit. So, like, nah, you can't go out for the weekend. And I'm straight. I'm going to go outside. Well, you got to leave. No problem. Gotta go vehicle, get my shit, I'm out. But now that night.
So when you who are you living with at the time?
My mom.
Okay.
I just moved back with my mom probably like maybe like 6 months before that. Probably.
Okay. And this is in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause I live in West Hartford, my aunt.
Gotcha. Okay. So
my boo. I don't know, I was just out there I just hustled just because, honestly, not because I ever feel like I need anything. Because anytime I feel like I need a couple dollars, I just ask my mother. Give me $50. I don't really need too much, like I said. So I don't care about the clothes and certain things that people, like, are they like, this is, you know, they feel something good about. I ain't really care about it. So I was just out there hustling. And, you know, I know dude. I know John. And somebody came through, drive down the projects. He wants something. I said, I don't care about it. So I just give him a bag. Do what you gotta do. Come back. It's short. We start going back and forth a little bit. I'm like, yo.
So was you working for him?
Nah.
Okay.
I just like people like run customers, they run sales for you.
Okay.
So it's just not like just you just do it for me. It's just like some people be out there and they know certain people. So it's like, yo, you take care of it. You middleman it real fast. And,
okay.
No, not necessarily like it's just anybody do it. It's not necessarily just somebody that use drugs or whatever stuff. So, I don't know. I guess a lot of people know me for just, like, not caring. Like, you know me, I'm nonchalant. Like, right. You know, it is what it is. Like, whatever the situation is, if ain't nobody putting their hands on me and that ain't no life changing, I really don't care about it. But comes back, it's short. It's, you know, ridiculously short. So I'm like, yo, either you got money or you got the rest. It's like, what's good? So he's like, oh, hey, this is what I gave him. All right, you know. Whatever, I don't care. Keep it. Now, you think I'm stealing this shit, whatever, I think I'm going to beat you. Yeah. Like, you ain't giving nobody this much for whatever, what you giving me in my hand.
Right.
So, like, nah, whatever, no, I don't care. So now you getting mad at me because I'm not arguing about, you know, you stole, you shortchanged me. So it comes to the point where we arguing. He walks up towards me. So I stand up. He pushed me. So I'm like, got a gun on my waist. I pull my gun out. Don't put your hands on me again. I didn't point at him or nothing. I was like, don't put your hands on me ever again. Like, I don't know. What you thinking right now? Don't do it again. So I sit down. I'm talking to somebody that's there also. That's in there. I'm like, listen, he put his hands on me. That's when my pops, I'm going to shoot him. So it's like, that's just my mind state. Like, I don't put my hands on nobody. Don't put your hands on me. I mean, it is what it is. I don't like, no. It comes from different shit, but he's still arguing. Oh, you can pull a gun out on me, whatever. I'm not out of time. I didn't point at you. I'm just letting you know. Don't put your hands on me. Bottom line, I said, ain't nothing else to it. Whatever you got, keep. You got my money. You got the work. Keep it. I don't care. Talking crazy. Cause I said, I'm laid back, quiet. Oh, you're gonna have to use that. I take it from you. I take it from you. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not taking this. So he walks up towards me again. I stand up. I let him get close enough to where it's like, hopefully not gonna do anything.
Right.
Grab me by my neck, push me back again. That's why I just pulled a gun out and shot him.
Mm.
So like, the newspaper article, and he's like, oh, he left and came back and stuff like that. Then I ain't going nowhere.
See, that's what I was saying.
They definitely tweak it, but like for the most part, it's like, you know, it is what it is. But I ain't leave nowhere. That's why I said, no, I ain't going nowhere. Because if I'd have left somewhere, they ain't that serious. I'm not gonna leave somewhere and come back. I ain't no troublemaker. I ain't that.
Change the shit, but you know, take a moment to make it light. The nigga from what was the fuck Wesley Snipes movie? White man can't jump. Go to my car. That's what I saw when I read the thing. Go to my car. Get my gun. Come back and kill everybody. Now, you know what I'm saying? But so that's but the media will paint it how they want to paint it. So it's good.
They never that serious. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why it was. That's where the self defense thing came from.
Yeah. That's my thing. Is that you just putting your hands on that? He wasn't picking on me and stuff like that. Not, but it just, you know, people just talk shit when they feel somebody laid back. It's still to this day. Mm-hmm. I don't get people running mouth like, whatever, I'm good.
So this is what I remember, right? And I need you to tell me if this is true or not, because I want to get to like what your mindset was after the fact, all of that. But the story that I remember,
I got caught,
huh?
Or when I got caught.
That, yes, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. But what everybody was saying, and again, I'm young. So, because did it happen in 95 or 96?
96.
So 96, I was 14. So the story that got to me was he was like robbing you. You know what I'm saying? Like chumping you, like taking your shit, stuff like that. And you basically stood up for yourself. Like that was the story. And then everybody was like, they caught him in a tree. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was hiding in the tree. I'm like, how he get in the tree?
You know what I'm saying? You know the crazy shit with that was? Like, no, it's a spur of the moment. I ain't into no shit like that. So from where we live, I did what I did, and I ran down a couple rows. Like, I live in the third row. So I ran down, and I ran home. Like, my mother was there. My mother's pregnant with my youngest sister and her husband. So I go in there. I tell her what happened real quick. Somebody followed behind me, talk real quick. I take off. So as I'm leaving, because I'm not for nothing, I'm just feel like I'm just running. I don't know where I'm going to go moment.
Yeah.
And not at the moment. I just know I can't stay in my house. So I take off. Like when I'm leaving up, I know like, all right, I got an idea where I can go. So as I'm running up, just so happened, you know, beat cops back in the day, they just patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Like two vehicles come down, so I'm like, I panic, so I circle back. And within that time, you know, this is like probably 3-4 minutes. They around anyway, they coming close.
What time is it?
This is like 11 at night.
Okay.
So, like, no, they around, and this is mid-90s, so they just around because everybody out doing whatever they supposed to, not supposed to do.
Right.
So, no, it was like a little panic, so I doubled back, and I came back, and I was like, damn. So, like, you know what? I'm just sit up in here. I was like, there's a tree right in the middle of the hill.
Do you think there's any irony to the sirens in the background right now? I'm being funny, but we're dead serious. Like, it's just, yeah. it's the irony.
It's crazy, right?
The irony of having this conversation.
Yeah, of me trying to get and I come back and I double back and just right there, the sounds. Right. But no, that's what it was. I just doubled back and it was there. I was like, fuck it. Let me see if I get away with doing this shit. I go up and I'm sitting in the tree. Now I'm watching the police came down there immediately. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching everything. They run into my apartment, they run to my mom's house and everything. They sitting on the end of the thing. I'm just sitting there the whole time, probably for like 15 minutes. 15 minutes, I'm just watching them. They're sitting there seeing if I come out the back door, the front, when after they leave. So now even with the newspaper tell you how I got caught, they say a dog found me, whatever. Like this is it's crazy because they're sitting there literally underneath me. I'm sitting there up on the tree like this. I'm sitting there listening to them tell me that he left. He's not around here. And I guess you just know when you get that feeling somebody might be watching you. I'm sitting there looking, I'm like this. I'm in all black already. And I just got my pennies on, the old one, 96 one. Mm-hmm. So the guy looks up, yep, and so he got the reflector.
Yeah.
He looks up. I know it. That's the only thing you see. See the bottom of my sneakers or the side. Put the flashlight up. Get down. That's it. It's a wrap.
Now, do you like you obviously gave us an account of detailed story. Do you remember this shit like yesterday? Like every detail?
Yeah. Cause it's like I don't look at it as like nothing bad and it's like no. Kind of, I do. I can't say. It depends on what angle I'm looking at it from, but it's just a chapter. Some people go through different shit. Some people go through different, medical issues. So I just happened to go through DOC.
So when that happened, you in the tree, they get you, they find you. At what point do you look at, like, damn, like, I fucked up, or damn, it's a wrap for me, or, like, when does the reality hit is the question.
I think when I talked to the bailiff after I got arrested. Cause I went down there and said, I ain't really getting in trouble. So, like, I go to the police station.
So, when you went down there for that, it was the first time you was locked up?
Yeah. I got arrested before for a stolen car, but it's not. No, this is different. I just went to Broad Street, Lane, that juvenile stuff. Mm-hmm. So, this is different. So, I went over there to talk to the police, get arrested. I'm in the interrogation room. They're like, this is what happened. Yeah, pretty much. So like, they already had a statement and anything. So they haven't been told what happened or anything got arrested.
How many people were around when it happened? Can you hear
me? About five, six people, maybe. Yeah, because it's about four or five just at the house where I was at. Excuse me. But then, as far as as my case went along going across, like there was a couple more statements from people that was around. So.
At what point did you know he didn't make it?
Right after I got arrested. Mm-hmm. Right when I got arrested, they put me there, he was like, yo, you're going to get charged with murder. I'm like, all right, so I know what it is now. So.
What'd you feel? Did you like, I could imagine like, just hearing that, like your heart didn't sink to your stomach and like, what did it feel? Do you remember what it felt like in that moment?
Nah, honestly, I didn't.
Did you feel like a victim?
Nah, I don't know. I just felt like I just got in some shit. I just gotta be. Because when I didn't know the system, excuse me, I didn't know nothing. When I went in there, it was like, listen, this was all right. He did this. This is what I did. That's the bottom line. Like, I'm gonna take whatever comes to it.
So you just gonna own up to what you did, and you wasn't even thinking about like, let me talk to my lawyer because you didn't have familiarity with the system or nothing like that.
That's for the most.
At any point, were you like, damn, I could be in jail for the rest of my life? Or like, none of that came to, it was just like, I did what I did, I'm going to take what comes with it. But you weren't thinking about what actually comes. It was like, yeah, whatever happens, happens type thing?
I was just like, whatever happens, happens. Numbers started kicking in once I, because I was only in the county jail for like 2 weeks.
They had you down in the Meadows?
Yeah, I was in the Meadows for like 2 weeks. And then after that, I went to Corrigan. Excuse me. And Corrigan had a sentence block. So at the sentence block, I met a couple of people that was already sentenced.
But you weren't sentenced yet?
No, I wasn't sentenced yet. So I met a couple of people. Excuse me. I think Elijah from from Waterbury, GQ, he had like 70.
Damn.
Time. So he had 70. This was like already, I was like 96. So we sitting and talk, whatever. He was like, I mean, he said, take the best off you can get. So I'm like, all right. So, because he said, he already told me, I don't know. People read shit and they come in, they see the news, whatever, and they say, hey, young man confessor. So they already know what time it is. We just, no, I'll chop it up real quick. And he was like, no, you're facing whatever, 25, 60. No. Mm. Plus you got the gun charge, whatever they else they want to tackle on. So I'm like, shit, 18. I'm starting doing numbers quick. So like, after nothing, I'm in jail like 2 months. I tell him, I call my lawyer. I'm like, listen, I'll take 20. I was like, I'll take 20. Mm. He was like, no, I don't know if they're going to give you that. I got to talk.
And you had a paid lawyer?
No, I didn't have it. I had a public defender at this
time. Okay. So
I stayed with him, like, not for nothing. Like, no. I'm looking for, at the time, like, I said, no, my family didn't have it. My aunt did what she can do. But I told at the same time, like, listen, I'm just trying to find the best offer. Find somebody to give me a good
and
offer.
And this was based on the information you was receiving while you was in there.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I'm like, I'm ready. I'm like, you know, it's what it is. I prepared so to do something.
So I think that's so interesting, bro. And it speaks to who I know you to be now. I didn't know you then, but it speaks to who I know you to be now. Because it doesn't sound like at no point, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't sound like at no point that you weren't aware of what you did and willing to own what you did. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were put in a situation, you did what you had to do. I'm willing to take the time that's associated with it, provided, you know, it's the best offer I can get. Like, the reason why I say that, I got a family member right now going to something similar, not as extreme, but something similar. But he's not, they're not of the street, you know what I'm saying? He got jammed up and quite frankly, doing something he had no business doing. But what I'm finding is it's like, there's no ownership. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's no ownership. It's like, he's putting a lot of that stuff back on his family and they having to figure it out where it's like, and I told him, like, yo, you're going to have to sit down. Like, this charge, you're going to have to sit down. And I'm of the mind, I'm like, man, but I still don't feel it from him. Like I still feel like he's not owning his part.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing from you is the ownership, it sounds like it's been the foundation of.
That's how I always been. Like, no, do something in the house. Like, no, I'm. If you can't get away with it, I suck it up. I felt like, no.
So. Yeah, because it's like, you know what you're doing is wrong. And if you get caught, it's like, before you did it, you knew what the consequences were.
Yeah. My thing's crazy shit about it is like, I ain't know about the course. And when you get arraignment, it's like, how do you plead? You're supposed to plead guilty no matter what. I mean, not guilty no matter what off the rip. He was like, how do you plead? I was like, guilty. He was like, no, I'm not guilty. I'm like, look at that. They got 5 statements. Right. And notice, so I'm like, so he's like, nah, it's a whole process. I'm like, all right, whatever, no. So what kicked in, when you asked me, like, when did it feel like it kick in? Once he told me when I was like, what's the bond? Like, no, he's like, oh, so like, where do I go? I asked my lawyer, like, where I go from now? He's like, now you go back. I was like, so when do I know? What's the next after that? What happens after that? He's like, well, you got a court date. You come back in like 6 months. So I'm like, so I go back to jail for 6 months. So he's like, yeah, you just, you know, you got to sit there until you can make bond, whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, that ain't going to happen. No.
What was your bond?
It was $1 million.
10%, 100,000?
Shit, I don't care. Yeah. No difference what it was at that time.
You just knew you wasn't coming home.
Yeah, not with nothing like that. Yeah, nah.
And back then, $1 million bond is crazy.
Yeah, you had to show a whole bunch. And it's like, it's different.
Yeah.
That shit is different.
So you go back in there, now you're sitting down for 6 months. And what's that like, man? Like, because obviously you got the incident that happened, you got the processing piece, and now you're just by yourself, right? Well, you know, alone with your thoughts, as they say.
I wasn't, how long was I in Corrigan? I went to Corrigan. I was in the metals for 2 weeks. I went to Corrigan for maybe about 5 months, not even, maybe like 4 months. Then they shipped me to High Bond and Walker. That's where they had everybody. Like, no, they had like 250 or maybe $500,000 or better.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, that was like, it was either you had a racketeering charge or you had a body, or like you had like a serious like assault charges. Cause that's what you was getting them bonds for at that time.
Right.
Now they throw you a bond. You're getting a crazy bond for drugs, like just regular shit.
Right.
But back then, you dudes getting $5 million of bonds, $3 million. Like, it was crazy.
So, what was? Were you nervous going in there? Because for the people listening to us, Javon ain't big. Like, he's not a big, big dude. You know what I'm saying? He was even smaller back then.
I was little shit when I first went to jail. When I went to jail, I was, my ID, I was 5'5", maybe, like a buck 10, buck 15, oh, wow. Maybe.
Little.
I was little.
Yeah.
I'm still though, but that's like, I was, but like, the crazy thing about when I went there, I seen a couple of people I grew up with. When I went to Meadows, I see a couple older dudes that had the racketeering case. No, I don't know. T and Jazz and everybody from Willow. So, like, you know, see them, they go take care to do this, whatever. So, no, they know my pop, they know my whole family and everything. So, I shoot the cork. I see people, you see people, and it's like, you know, it's an instant, like, nah, you're gonna be straight. You know, you here, you gotta figure out how to make the best of it. So, this is what you do, this is what we're going on, this is the schedule, this is how it is. Fall in line. So,
was that like a sense of security walking in there and just having somebody you recognize and knew? Did you feel like, I don't know, because like he said, you spent that, you in there by yourself with your thoughts. You're like, no, actually, that, you know, homie from around the way.
It just makes it easy. I guess I don't know what you want to really look at it. Like, you know, just come back, think about it. Like, I don't know. You're just like, you're going into a grocery store and you've seen somebody that you know. And you're like, all right, we're going here. So, you go to jail, together. You see somebody. You go to jail, you see somebody in the block that you know. You're like, all right, we good. Fuck with you. And especially like you knew, you know, you don't really know what's going on, the routine, the rec schedules and all that shit, and phones and showers and visits. So, you know, you're going to catch somebody that's in there already, that's, you know, they're going to let you know what it is. And after that, you know, it's like Groundhog Day, just different food, same shit. Your rec might be in the morning or it might be in the afternoon or vice versa. But shit, for the most part, you're only going to, you live in 2 days out of the week. You know, you're going to get wrecked in the morning, get wrecked at night. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this shit is going to flip-flop. So you ain't got to worry about too much.
Did you, double back real quick, how do you have access to a gun like this from around, just from cash around the way? Like, what made you want to get it?
I don't know. It was just something. I don't know. Just I have. It wasn't that like, yo, I need a gun for this. It's just, either my man's got a bunch of guns or come across something, somebody selling something. Just a habit. No, it ain't. You know, people just be selling shit.
But okay. the listeners don't know, though. The listeners don't know.
Yeah, so that's why we asking these questions that we obviously may know the answers to.
Yeah, like, I get
people listening don't know the story. So
no, that's thing. No, people do be. I don't found the gun inside the car I broke into before. So, like, no, I get you.
Mm-hmm. So, how long was you in there before you got sentenced?
2 years. I sat 2 years.
And that was in
Walker.
Walker.
Yep.
Okay.
So you sat to trial like in March.
So you sat for 2 years. And what was the final sentence?
30.
30.
Straight flat 30. And well, not flat 30. My sentence was 30 years.
Okay.
I didn't get like a mandatory sentence.
What did that feel like when you heard that in the courtroom?
Because I went to trial, so
which is crazy too for a second. Just 1 second. Like you admitted in so many instances, like in the interrogation that you did it, and your lawyer advised you to plead not guilty, so you took it to trial. And you took it to trial. Well, actually, why did you take it to trial?
That was just arraignment. The arraignment dude just said plead not guilty because you have to do that. That's procedure. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They just plead not guilty. They don't care if they got you on camera. Like, and that's just a procedure of arraignment.
Yep.
But as I went along, later on, I ended up getting a special public defender. And he was trying to get me to plead guilty. I mean, just take.
What was the first offer?
36 with the right to argue for less. Basically, he's like, I could get you like 33, 30 years. Or I'm like, nah, I'm not. For manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm not taking that. No, honestly, I don't think he said manslaughter. I think it was he wanted me to take it for the murder charge. It wasn't manslaughter. He didn't offer manslaughter. It was like, I was like, nah, I'm not taking that. Like, I take a dub for manslaughter. I said, I'll take a manslaughter charge. I'm not taking no murder charge. I'll go to trial. I lose.
How did you in your mind come to, I'll take a dub? Where'd that number come from?
I was 18 years old. I'm like, I'm looking at what everybody else is getting. No, I got manslaughter charge. I faced between 5 to 40. I'm looking at all the other cases that kind of like favor, like similar to mine and stuff like that. So this of the charges.
So these are cats that you're currently locked up with? that you're learning
no,
about?
No, it's just not them two, but a lot of the people have already been sentenced. It's like a thing that's called the spirits and sentences. So it's like, you know, they could compare everybody that had manslaughter with firearm charges within the time that I got arrested to the time I got sentenced, they'll show all their sentences.
So they it was like the median. Yep. Yeah, the median so was like 20.
I see that stuff. I'm like, all right, and I know, you know I'm young. I'm like, all right, I got two and I do this. No, I did wrong. No, it is. I'm okay with this right here. Okay. It ain't really up to me, but shit. If I'm at that time, I was willing to do like straight 20. I take 20. That's my mindset. I take 20 years. I go home when I'm 40. Mm. No, so I don't know. So I was like, that's it, man.
So you got sentenced. They say 30 years.
Yeah.
How'd that feel?
I kind of figured it. Because like I said, I got found not guilty of murder. Then they found me guilty of manslaughter firearm because I had like a lesser clue defense. I was trying to, because they trying to get, say murder. I'm like, nah, it's not that. Right. I'm not copping. That's how I'm going to trial.
Because murder's premeditated, right?
Yeah. And I said, if they cop out to the 30, that they, the 30, 35 that they won't give me, I'm going to damn near walk that 30 to the door. As far as with the manslaughter at the time, parole, you stay able, still able to make parole at 50% for manslaughter.
Got it.
So that's why I'm like, all right, I'll take the dub. If they don't, they shoot me down at 10, I'll probably do 15. You know, that's what my mind state. You know, even if I were, if I do the whole dub, it's still, you know, it is what it is. Because I see everybody, they got 70, 50, 60. So
like, comparatively, a dub ain't nothing. Yeah, I'm comparatively,
like, yeah. So it's like, when people tell me that, listen, that's what you need to do, take it with it. I'm like, ah, yeah. Then he's like, nigga, smoke my boots.
Right.
Like, yeah, I am straight.
Yeah, it's funny, man, because I remember some people you mentioned. I remember during that time, the 90s was wild, man. And I remember some of the OGs in the neighborhood, and I don't remember the names of people who got sentenced or whatnot, but I remember that's when I learned the term football numbers. That's when I learned the term football numbers. And
jerseys.
Yeah. And I'm just like, football numbers, and they're like, yeah, he got 70 years. And I'm like, 70 years? You know, like, I'm a kid, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just can't fathom that. But there was a lot of people that was in the street that, and I don't know if it was how bad things were in the country, in the city, in the state, I'm not sure, but it felt like people were doing things and getting these absorbent numbers. Like, how did you even come up with that? You know what I'm saying?
I think because like, at one point in the 90s, it was like, Solids, Kings, Nietas.
A lot of gangs.
So it was like, and it's so small as it is, like Hartford, especially like in Hartford area, we Hartford, New Britain, mm-hmm. and that same little, and Hartford had all the, they was acting up in the 90s. So yeah. It was like.
I remember, you may or may not remember this, 60 Minutes did a special on Stowe Village. Like it was, I believe it was Lion Kings and Solids. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. But they was driving around with them.
At the one point, they had to shoot out the police on Park Street. It was like, it was crazy. So I think it became so normal because the court system kept seeing so many people come to jail for shootings.
Yeah.
Like, because of the gangs. I'm saying, so it was like, there's a bunch of, like, when I was in Walker and High Bond, there's 25, 50, 96, about 96 people in that block. No lie, probably at least, like, 70 of them had bodies. Easy 70 people. And some multiple, 3, 2, 5. So
we're going to get into, like, prison life in a second, but, like, you literally surrounded by killers. You know what I'm saying? And you went in for the same thing, right? But you were surrounded by killers.
It's different.
How do you rest? Like, how were you, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, I'm aware always, right? Like, I'm facing the door for a reason. Like, I'm always aware. But when you around people that this is what they're known for, you know what I'm saying? Regardless of what they're known for, this is what they're in there for. And it's like, you know, my assumption is if you get into something, it can go all the way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because these people have exhibited that they're not afraid to let it get out of hand. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So however it go is however it go. So how does that feel? Like when you know when like, yo, I mean, I'm around people that done the same thing, some of them at a higher level, you know, than I have. And not that higher level, like I'm glamorizing it, but I'm just saying multiple bodies and stuff like that to the extreme. Right, that's a better word. So how did that, were you comfortable? Were you not comfortable?
Nah, I think we good. I think everybody comfortable. Not for nothing. I don't think somebody that went in there for whatever they was in there for, especially if you're going to High Bond, you already prepared. because you know you got your case, you know you in there for a minute. It's just, I don't know, it's just, you're not really feeling no type of way about nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you know you ain't do nothing wrong to that person.
Right.
And so you ain't got that, you ain't caused no reason for that man to act up or the next. It's more so you coming in, all right, I'm around a whole bunch of men. I know how I am. And somebody going to be 10 times worse, or somebody that's like, they ain't even got it all. So, especially, like I said, once you first come in, you know these people on meds, these people, they ain't got it all. No, this is like, it's different. So it's just like more, so it's like a camp. It's like boy being in the Boys and Girls Club without you, when you can't leave.
Camp Shady.
It's like being in the Boys and Girls Club and you can't leave when you're younger, as far as shit like that. So you're going to get a, you're gonna get accustomed to who's who and the mannerisms and who, you know, if you play ball, you can deal with a couple of people that play ball. You play cards, you know, certain shit like that. But
yes, I think what happens is most people's perspective of prison is all the shit that they glamorize TV. On TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So it's like it's cutthroat from the time you're in it to the time you leave.
Yeah, that's what people
envision it to be like.
Nah. You know,
so how was that? Because your mom was pregnant, you said, with your little sister, you said?
Yeah, she had baby. She had my sister 3 days after I got arrested. I got arrested June 26, 96.
She was pregnant. Yeah, like it could be any day.
Me being locked probably pushed that out a little earlier than what expected. I never asked her when she was actually due date. But yeah, I know. I think me going getting locked up, I definitely pushed my little sister.
Right after it happened, you said you went home and told her what happened.
Yeah, after that. Yeah. 3 days later, my little sister there.
So damn, bro, that was the last time they saw you outside of a jail.
Yeah.
Right? When you went to the house.
Cool. Yeah, my mom. Yeah.
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 So what was
How long did you end up staying in prison?
16 years, 3 months, and 5 days.
So I remember when you first came home, and I asked that you said every day. You know what I'm saying? Like every day. So that's a long time, bro. That's a long time. What type of toll did that take on your family?
Before you gotta ask them that.
Before you answer that, what I'll say is New Britain did a good job of keeping your name alive. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I appreciate it.
New Britain did a good job of that. And because again, I didn't know you at the time. You know what I'm saying? And shit, I didn't even know that Oss was your cousin, to keep it real, until like later on.
They was young too though. So yeah. Like for a minute I said we had to lie to my younger cousin that was like his big brother to my angel that I was in college for a couple years.
That's what my dad told my daughter. He was in college.
They gave him that for a few, then after that he started getting older and he was like, alright, you get smart, you get like 9, 10, you're like, we could go see people at school. Like, so I was like,
no, we're smart.
That's what I think it was for a minute.
I think for me, again, I'm speaking from my perspective in terms of how you were perceived for me. It was like, and again, I didn't know the story until right now, but the perception was you stood up to the bully. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm sure your stature had something to do with that.
I was going
to
ask
like how big you were. And I don't know how big this person was, but, you know, that was a story. And it was almost like, oh, he stood up for himself. You know what I mean? And you were always a stand up dude. Like you weren't known
to a degree. It was like, so I'm saying, just standing up in the sense of like, you know, relax. Like this ain't the whole transaction. The whole everything how it transpires. Like I said, I'm in the streets, but it wasn't like, no, he just coming like, oh, give me your shit, whatever. Like, nah, somebody come through. We know that he won't buy something. Hey, you take this. Go take care of what you got to take. I'll look out for you when you get back. Whatever the case may be, but. You know, me being who I am, laid back, not really caring about too much, and him knowing that, I'm going to keep this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and exactly what happened, like, you know I'm not going to go too crazy about it. You got what you wanted, and now you mad at me that I'm not mad at you.
Right.
So that's basically what it boiled down to, that shit like that. Then it just transpired to, you want to put your hands on people. And shit like that.
So let me, I'm going to back up just a second, then we going to get into.
Hold on. Did niggas try you because of your size, or was it just like?
I think so. I think that and for like me coming to Mount Pleasant, I'm a Pinnacle. My family from Pinnacle and stuff like that. So, and then I'm quiet, laid back, and I'm who's the new kid in the project, whatever stuff like that. So a couple people like me. You know, you get hated because people like you. So,
mm-hmm.
but Nah, I just got certain shit, you know, people talk shit. And ain't nobody, I ain't really never, I ain't getting too many fights. And I just kept it, you know, keep it cool with a few people. And that's about it.
So you while you were in there, you transferred a number of times in prison, right?
Yeah, I went to a few places.
So now where you were in Virginia at one point.
Yeah, I went to VA in 01, 2001.
Okay.
I got sentenced in 98, like in May or June, somewhere around there.
So, but in 01, you was locked up for 5 years at that point, right?
Yeah.
Roughly?
What day did you get out?
October 1st, 2012.
So what was that like, transferring to another state? Because now you're not walking in knowing anybody.
Nah, we are. Because I'm going on there with a bunch of people from Connecticut.
Oh, that's how that works.
Connecticut had a contract with Virginia to transfer 500 inmates. Connecticut basically paid for 500 beds or however it worked. I think, what was it, Matt? How do you know how that works?
Yeah, I think they had the space. Connecticut jails was overpopulated. They set up some type of contract and swapped out, shipped out a bunch of Connecticut.
Yeah, that's what it was. They shipped like 500. They got like 500
beds. Oh, so this was like a whole thing. Like, yeah, it was understood.
It was a whole state movement. So the overpopulation. So.
And you stayed in Virginia till when?
2004, 3 years.
And came back up?
Yeah.
Okay. So you only went to Virginia and you came back up?
No, but before that, I was in from High Bond when I got sentenced. I went to Cheshire for like 2 years. Cheshire was on some bullshit. They didn't want to give my contact visits. I acted up. I had my mom call up people, whatever, threatened to call them with the papers, anything. They kept me about the jail ASAP. So they sent me to McDougal. So that's when from McDougal I was there. Probably for like only like 2 years. Then they were doing the whole transfer shit.
Oh, and that's when you went down there. The two states were Connecticut and Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
From Connecticut. But when we went to Connecticut, we had a whole, from Virginia, we had like a whole couple, like a couple pods. So there's a good amount. We all stayed with Connecticut. But when we went outside the rec yard, we was wrecking with, you know, Virginia, D.C. dudes. I don't know. No, I think that was just when I went there, just Virginia and I think Vermont. We was all on the same side of the compound.
Gotcha.
In Connecticut.
Next time on All Black Men Need Therapy.
So you were a productive member of society in 2012 for 8 years. Bring me up to
May 12th,
2020.
Headline, May 13th, 2020. 37 pounds of marijuana found during a traffic stop in Berlin.